was pastor of the Sagamore Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas, 42 years and 8 months. God called me to another ministry. The Foreign Mission Board sent me to Belgium. And there we served the Lord for years, supplying for one of the furloughing missionaries. It was my joy to be with those great people. There was an English-speaking church there, the International Baptist Church of Belgium. Some of the finest people I ever met in my life. Dr. Ingram forgot to mention one church I had. When I was in Hardin Simmons, I was Pastor Tuxedo. If you ever go through Tuxedo, don't bat your eye. You'll never see it. It's the only town I know of that the city limit signs, all four signs are on the same post. But some of the greatest people I've ever known in my life. And I'm glad that I've had the privilege of pastoring some great, great people. And my friends, I love the church. I am in evangelism today, I guess you'd call it that. But I'm not interested in great stadium revival evangelism. One reason, I never get invited to do those things. But I tell you what I'm for. I am for going into a local church and preaching the gospel there and getting that church to be aware of God's presence, salvation by grace. I'm interested in that church becoming a concerned missionary Baptist church, not only trying to win people in their own community, but trying to win people around the world to Jesus Christ. I'm a churchman. I love thy church, O God. And if anything that makes me furious is somebody to get up and say, well, the church age is over. Brother, we are just beginning. I'm interested in your church, wherever it is. I'm interested in the small church. And then we talk about these great churches. Well, let's wonder what you mean by great. I know some little churches that are greater than some big ones. And if you're a pastor of a church, God has given you the greatest honor of all. But as I go from church to church, I find out that there is a word in God's word that we've lost in our Christian faith. And I think I can tell you something of my ministry when I preach this sermon. We have lost the word concern. Just absolutely being burdened and brokenhearted about lost people. We've lost that word. We talk about our great buildings, and I'm for those. We talk about our great programs, and I'm for that. But it seems like to me, as I go from place to place, that the people have lost their concern for the man without Christ. And it breaks my heart. You know, last January, we went to Israel. Elizabeth and I went with Wayne Ward and Bill Toler and Dr. McGorman, Jack McGorman, Dr. Vorderman, and we went over there more or less for a study trip. And at the close of the trip, we had our choice. Some could go to Greece, others could go to Rome, and others could go down to Mount Sinai. Well, I'd been to Rome, and I'd been to Greece, to Athens, and I decided that I'd like to go down over that Sinai desert, down there to Mount Sinai. And Wayne Ward from Southern Seminary, that other seminary, what, Southern Seminary, is that the name of it? Yeah. These seminaries down in Fort Worth, I'm talking about the other one. But anyway, I said, that'd be a great trip. And so we went and stood at the foot of Mount Sinai, over that Sinai desert. And so someone told us, who was guiding us, that this was the area where Moses went up to get the law and where the children of Israel camped while he was up there receiving the law from the Lord. And I got to thinking about that story. Moses went up to Mount Sinai, and God gave him the law. And then the people down there that were waiting on him, they got to saying, "Where is this Moses? Aaron, get up and make us other gods. Gods of gold, and a golden calf that we can worship. As for this Moses, we don't know what happened to this fellow. He just disappeared into the mountain." And old Aaron, being a weakling, I don't think God really intended for Aaron to go with him anyway, over there into Egypt. But Aaron got up and made these people's God, and then he told the people, as he proclaimed a feast day, he said, "This is your God, O Israel." And so they got up early in the morning, and they offered burnt offerings, and they offered peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Think about the God that led them out of Egyptian bondage. They had forgotten him, and now they were worshiping gods of gold. And Moses came down. The Lord said to Moses, "This is the stiff-necked people down there. And I want to destroy them, and then I'll make out of you a great nation." But Moses didn't like that. And he called the people together, and he called them to give them the message from the Lord. Then he went back to the Lord, and he returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin. And have made gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins..." And then he stopped. And then he said, "And if not, blot, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." Lord, if you can't save those people who have so greatly sinned against you, just let me die with them. Just forget me also. That's kind of like old Moses. Paul, pardon me. That was kind of like Paul in the 9th chapter of Romans, when he said, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." That was something like John Knox said when he prayed, "Oh God, give me Scotland or I die." Where is that spirit? We enjoy our churches. We enjoy the music. And what music we've had. We enjoy the fellowship. And then, if you preach like some of the people who have preceded me on this program, people enjoy preaching. Oh, what preaching we've had. We enjoy that. We say, "Amen." And we just get so thrilled about it. But how many of us are willing to say, "Lord, tomorrow at the close of this session, I'm going to drive back into my town, or out on the countryside where I'm pastor, or in this city or some other city. And Lord, as I drive in, I want to sincerely say, Lord God, give me this town, or give me this city, or give me this countryside for thee, or let me die." Not many of us. We've lost the spirit of concern. We have lost the concern that Jesus had when he sweat drops of blood in Gethsemane. has it been, Fred Swank? I know that guy. I'd rather talk to him. How long has it been since you have really wept and cried over some lost person? How long has it been, Mother, since you have wept and cried over the lostness of your child? Oh, you want to be nice little boys and girls and go to Sunday school and someday join the church where all of the family could be a member of the same church. Oh, I know how that is. But how many of you have ever cried because a child is lost? Our lost word is concern. We rejoice in these great messages. I know what I'm talking about. I've done the same thing. And I'd say, Lord God, now that's what I need. That's what I need. Praise God, that's what I need. And go back and forget it. There are still lost people in your community. One of the greatest revivals I ever had in Texas was out in the country. And the preacher met me and said to me, he said, I'll tell you, I hope we have a great meeting, but Brother Swank, they're in the lost person in the community. We had over 50 people saved in that community, in that revival. People are lost everywhere. Do you care? You know, the kingdom of God and the church of the kingdom of God has been built on the word concern. Isaiah said, for as soon as Zion travaileth, she brought forth the children. When I drive through the countryside and go from town to town and city to city, and I see spires yonder pointing toward God, I know that somebody back yonder someplace was concerned enough to build a church. Where is that concern today? Where is that concern? I read after a journalist. And he made me mad because I don't like for anybody to criticize the church. But he said, I have read the New Testament several times. I have read the book of Acts 11 times. I have visited churches all over America and other countries. And I see nothing in the modern church that even resembles the church of the New Testament. I believe he's saying you do not have concern in your churches for lost people. The church of the New Testament won people to Jesus Christ. The greatest success story ever recorded in history was that of the church 50 years after Calvary. What a success. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. They faced death. They faced prison. They faced all manner of criticism. But they won people to Jesus Christ. Why do people lack concern? Why is it that I just go home and forget? Well, first of all, we may lack knowledge, really, what it's all about. We may lack the knowledge that people are lost. We'll say to ourselves, do you mean to say if that good man, that guy that's given all that money to some charity, you mean to say that that man, unless he trusts Jesus Christ, he's going to hell? And we get to rationalize it. But my friends, rationalize all you want to. If he dies without Jesus Christ, he's going to hell. I don't care how wonderful he is in the community. I've had people tell me, Brother Swank, if anybody is in heaven, that man went to heaven. Not necessarily. If he trusted Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior, he went to heaven. Do you really believe that, boy? Well, if I really believe it, I want to be concerned about the man who doesn't know Jesus Christ. I can get up in this pulpit and say, boy, today I got a headache. And I want you to know before I get to the back door, I'll have 50 remedies for headache. I was talking in a meeting one time, and I made a statement like that, and the lady said, after those, said, I want to give you a new remedy for headaches. Well, I didn't have a headache, but she gave me a remedy. She said, if you'll take your hand and squeeze right there 10 times, your headache will be gone. Well, next time I had a headache, and I've never had very many headaches, but I got it, boy, I gave it. And first thing I know, my headache's gone. I don't know whether that did it or the aspirin did it. But friend of mine, we find people who do not know Jesus Christ, and we just hope that someday they'll find the Lord. And we forget them. Another thing, we've lost the tools. We've forgotten the tools. We think we have to do it all ourselves. Oh no, we have a message to give. We can go to God in prayer. We can use the power and the might of the preaching of the Scripture and the power and the might of the Holy Spirit. Ah, we have plenty of tools with which to work. Another thing, I imagine we have lost our concern because we've lost our love for Christ. You know, the church at Ephesus is a great church. Many things could be said about that great church, but they'd lost their first love. Friend of mine, you're not doing anything for God without that first love. If I love Christ, I want to tell everybody in this world about it. And then we've lost our love for others. We're just thinking about self. Oh, it's raining today. We can't go out and win souls today. Cold weather. We just want to protect ourselves. And then sometimes we're just preoccupied. You know, a lot of times we can get preoccupied doing church work. Somebody said one day, I said, Brother, I'd like for you to come to Sagamore Hill Baptist Church. Baptist moved in. They said, we're going to join some other denomination. I said, what's wrong? He said, well, our health just won't let us join a Baptist church. Said, we're just afraid it'll work us to death. Boy, we can find something to do. Committee meetings. Man, one thing about being retired, you don't have to sit in any more committee meetings. Sitting around just doing something. We get preoccupied. Another time, we get preoccupied trying to solve all of the social problems in the world. The social gospel. I think they ought to be solved. I don't know how to solve them. They'll say, we ought to feed the world. I don't know how to feed the world. I'm for giving anybody food who needs it. But I don't know all about that. Or sometimes we can get preoccupied with our own personal lives. Just sitting around taking care of ourselves. My friends, men are still lost. Ladies are still lost. Boys and girls are still lost. And we need to be brokenhearted. Then sometimes we don't win people to Christ because of the lack of prayer. You can't do it. God does it. Sometimes we lose our concern because we lose our convictions. We get to rationalizing a preacher or a Christian has the right to do anything anybody else does. That's right. But you know, I heard R.G. Lee say one time that he saw in the paper where there was a woman who had become a professional boxer. He said, that's fine. That's great. But he said, if I was going to get married again or if I was young and looking for a wife, I just wouldn't want a sparring partner. Listen, friend of mine, our job is not to be like the world. Our job is to be like Jesus. And when I'm like Jesus, I find myself getting concerned for lost people. And oh, listen, let's just run through and see what concern will do. Concern will solve your theological problems. I have never seen a modernist yet concerned about the lost world. I've never seen a concerned person concerned for souls who are lost who had any problems with God's Word. It'll solve your faithfulness problems. You get your church concerned, the people will be there. It'll solve your consecration problems. You won't want to do a lot of things if you're concerned. It'll solve your giving problem. You know, we try to sometimes finance a church like you're trying to finance the United Fund. Go out and see how much people give. Boy, if they're concerned, you don't have to worry about it. I saw a church come. First Sunday I was at Sagamore Hill, we had $5.32 offering. I gave $2 of that. I saw that church raise, the last year I was at Sagamore Hill, almost $1 million. Because people were concerned. Not only that, but it'll solve your fellowship problem. People who are concerned are not going to get up and on a Wednesday night meeting and split the church. The only thing wrong with you splitters is the fact that you're not concerned. I am concerned for lost souls and concerned for the lives of boys and girls. I'm not going to be engaged in any church row. Did you know something? I have been pastor of a church nearly 50 years, and I have never witnessed, nor I've never heard a church fuss. Never. We never had one argument on the floor of the church in Sagamore Hill Baptist Church, 43 years I was there. I believe our dear people were concerned about something else. It'll solve your doing God's will if you're concerned. Elizabeth and I decided to retire. We retired because of God's will. Nobody said anything about to me about retiring, but her. He said, you ought to do something else sometime. God led us to the foreign fields. 67 years of age. And you know, I dodged those mission days in the seminary because I didn't want God to call me to foreign missions. And when I was 67, he called me, and I went. And brother, I thank God I went. It'll solve your prayer problem. You know why you don't pray? You're not concerned. It'll solve your power problem. If I'm concerned about lost people, I'll so pray and read God's Word and study God's Word that He can endue me with power from on high. I can't finish this sermon. Don't have time. But listen to it. If I know anything that I need as I go from church to church, I need power from God. But fellows, God will not give us power until we're concerned. And you can talk about a revival. You can advertise a revival. You can hang up posters. You can do anything, but unless you're concerned enough to go yourself and lead your people to go out and bring lost men and women into the hearing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you'll never have a revival. Mike Brumley, star baseball player, several years ago, he told me that a fella got him to go to church when he was about to break up his home and go off in a life of complete sin. But this boy who was concerned about him took him to church and he was saved. It changed everything. Even his career as a baseball catcher. Gave it up because he felt the call of God to serve him. Friend of mine, go home today concerned. And before you put your car in the garage, go to see somebody who's on your heart and win that first to Jesus.
And you know what? You'll have a great day Sunday. You know why you don't have a great day Sunday? You don't have anybody coming for Christ. I'll tell you, on Saturdays, every Saturday I was at home at Sagamore Hill Baptist Church, I used for visitation. And you know something? Very few Sundays in all the years I was there. We started out with about 200 members. We ended up with 5,065 members. And I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you the facts. 43 years I was there, we baptized 4,963 people every Sunday. God bless us. Because I believe a little group of people said, we're going to be concerned. And we took it to the Lord and dedicated our church and our lives.